let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Our guest on This Week in America is Jeremy Gorman. He says man's outrageous energy demand is destroying the very atmosphere in which we live, poisoning our oceans. He says if we continue on this path in 100 years, the world will be uninhabitable. He's the author of the much-talked-about book Energetics. Your new energy, it's free, it's clean, it's everywhere. He says new energy will cut your energy bill, stop global warming, inhibit climate change and further increases in violent storms. It will even, he says, employ thousands locally. And best of all, it's doable, and we can do it together. Jeremy, a child of the Depression, has been fascinated by the way things affect our everyday lives. He helped develop clean air practices in Cleveland, Ohio's Air Pollution Control Department. He's helped develop the budding new art of fiberglass construction materials, was a leader in developing adhesives that cured chemically instead of evaporating solvents into our atmosphere, your guide to saving money by saving the earth. Energetics, your new energy, it's free, it's clean, it's everywhere. Author Jeremy Gorman back with us on This Week in America. Hi, Jeremy, welcome back to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here. I hope I can help.
Well, you can. This is such an important message, and it's always fun to have a chance to talk with you about this. We've talked about this book and another book that you've written that's also important, Revolt. Why did you write these books? How did you come to actually write these books?
Well, we have increased the carbon dioxide content of our atmosphere by 50% just in the past 100 years. Carbon dioxide absorbs solar heat, so we've warmed the Earth 2 degrees, but the Earth is massive, and so it's slow. So we've got 4 to 8 more degrees still coming, so we have to change that. So the idea is we're going to stop using carbon burning as our primary source of energy, and we have to change it to the sun, the wind, the geothermal, the tides, the rivers, the streams, which surround every one of us all the time, but we ignore them.
Which is amazing, and the book is so eye-opening. Energetics, your new energy, it's free, it's clean, it's everywhere. Like you say, sources out there, as soon as we walk outside, we see sources, we feel sources that we could use. Let's talk about the role of energy, the source of energy, and why that's so critical.
Well, I guess the atmosphere is a little bit too cool for most of us, so we want to heat things up. So we're looking for heat energy primarily. That's not all the energy we're looking for. We have lots and lots of it, but our sources of energy. So far, we have been ossified in our way of thinking. We've tried to get it from coal, oil, or gas, period. And there's more energy from the sun and from the wind and from the geothermal and from the rivers and streams and the tides than there is from the coal. And you don't have to dig it up, and we don't pollute anything doing it. So I'm trying to say we have to teach people how to use those sources of energy. So far, most people know they're there, but they don't know how to use them.
Well, they are there. And your book, Energetics, is very easy to read. It's very practical. It's a guide. It sort of takes us by the hand and shows us what's out there and how we can go about it. And again, the title is revealing Energetics, Your New Energy. It's free. It's clean. It's everywhere. That pretty well states everything. Jeremy Gorman, the author, and our guest back with us on the program. Books available at Amazon, wherever books are sold. We'll talk about that later in the program. And you can, of course, go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly to get information. The other part of that is this extravagant usage of fossil fuel that we seem to have, and it seems to continue, or at least we want it to continue for some reason. How can we stop this extravagant use of fossil fuels?
Well, we have to use alternatives. Now, sun is everywhere. Everybody has sun. We have solar panels. Unfortunately, they have been very expensive in the past, and you had to mount them on your roof. Today, they're coming down and down and down in price, and today, I think you can probably pay for solar panels, which you put on your house, In less than 2 years, they'll pay for themselves by the energy they save you. So that's a big change, because not long ago it was 4 or 5 years. Now it's less than 2 years. And I think we're going to get it down to under a year sometime in the next 2 or 3 years, I think. So we're going to try to do that. So that sun, the geothermal is a little harder. It's expensive and less productive, so that's not as good a move as the other. But the wind is very good. The wind is everywhere. It is very intermittent. So if we do wind, we're going to have to also put in storage devices, because when the wind blows, you get more energy than you need. But when the wind doesn't blow,
exactly,
you got to use what you stored. And so we have to have a storage system which works. And we're improving our batteries rather remarkably. About 100% improvement in batteries just in the past 5 years. And that's good.
You mentioned geothermal. For some, they think that's too expensive. In fact, for a lot of the alternative methods that you're talking about, there's this fear it's going to be expensive. You talk about solar, where that's coming down and maybe even pays for itself within a few years. How about geothermal? Where do we stand price-wise on that?
Geothermal is quite expensive. That's the problem. You have to dig a lot of holes and dig a deep hole, and that gets expensive. And it's a little slow to repay for itself. I think as of today, the cost of drilling is so high that it probably be between 2 and 3 years before you can pay for that. So it's going to take you a while to pay it back. I think we're getting better at that, and we're also getting more efficient at our geothermal systems that we put down in the earth to get the heat out of the earth. So we're making improvements, and we're going in the right direction, but more slowly than I'd like.
Well, talk about the technology. Is the technology keeping up with our demands? You talk about solar, and it sounds like they've made remarkable strides there. Is the technology catching up with what we actually need and the dramatic changes we need to make?
Well, actually, the answer is yes. The technology is keeping up. The problem is we aren't spreading it around to enough people so they understand it. You know, the technology tends to stay in universities instead of being out with everyday people.
Yes.
That's the big problem. How do you communicate that to everyday homeowners all over the world? That's the big trick right now.
Talk about solar for a second and capturing solar. How difficult is that, and what do we need as an individual to invest in that to be able to capture solar?
Well, solar panels are coming down. They're under $200 a piece now. So, and I think about 8 of them will handle supply enough electricity for almost any family home, at least in the United States. So that's the direction I want to go. But solar panels, there are probably 4 or 5 manufacturers of solar panels, and I think you're going to see a few more in the future, because solar is clearly the way we need to go and the way we will go. So there's going to be more and more solar.
The book is Energetics, Your New Energy. It's free, it's clean, it's everywhere. Jeremy Gorman, our guest on the program. Energetics is Energetics. You talk about DIT, do it together. If someone thinks, I'm just a small individual, it's not going to make a whole lot of difference, I'm sure you would say that's wrong. And then you would talk about forming little groups in the neighborhood, and all of a sudden, you've got a part of town that could be pretty much energy efficient.
That's exactly right. If you have a housing group, you know, 4, 5, or 10 houses, something like that, there's going to be a variety of talents in those homes. And if you bring them together, we can solve the energy problem between us. Somebody in one home will know something, somebody in another one another. We combine them together, and we learn how to do this. And then each of the homes can make use of that combined knowledge.
You talk, and this is so important, because it's very basic. If, again, we think that there's nothing we can do. I'm not an engineer. I can't come up with this technology. I can't switch the world to solar power. you say it all starts with conservation. Talk about that, because that's really the most practical way to begin, isn't it? Just we as individuals need to conserve.
I agree. I think conservation is clearly very, very high. We are extremely wasteful of energy because there's been cheap and everywhere before. It's getting less cheap. It's also limited. You know, it's a finite resource. We're going to use it up someday. Not in my lifetime or yours, but we're going to use it up someday. So we have to learn alternatives. Let's learn them now and learn to enjoy them and get better and better. As we use them, we'll get better and better at it.
And that's one of the nice things with energetics. You can become an energet and you can form people in your neighborhood, and all of a sudden it is making a difference. All of a sudden, financially, it is making a difference. Energetics, Your New Energy by Jeremy Gorman. It's available at Amazon, wherever books are sold. You talk about capturing tidal energy. I live in an area, we've got a lake right next to us, and right on the other side of the lake is the Atlantic Ocean. Are we missing opportunities in places like that to capture some of this?
Well, tidal energy is a little more difficult, but it's not impossible. Of course, you have to be on a body of water which has tides, or you don't have tidal energy.
Exactly.
So there are limited areas where tidal energy works. However, it's a very good source, and it's constant. It goes all the time. Tides come and go as the earth moves, so there are tides. Tides are always there, and they're always coming up and down. Now, they vary in volume a lot. Some areas where the water is captured, like up in Cape Cod, the water is captured. The tides are much higher than other places where there's lots and lots of space for the water to go. So that's something that tidal is specific to people who live near the oceans.
If you think alternative energy is a choice of maybe one or two, when you read energetics, you will look at the whole environment as different, and most of the elements in the environment as possible sources of energy. When we talked about this before, lunar energy, even. You've got a chapter in the book about that. Talk about lunar energy, how that works.
I missed that. Talk about nuclear energy?
No. Well, and we can in a second. Lunar energy. How about that? You talk about that as well.
Yes. Very good. We should have more than one source of energy for your place. The solar is clearly a very big one. The wind is also another very big one. The earth is always there, but it's more difficult to attach and things of that nature. So that, yes, I think your best bet is to have at least two different natural sources of energy. Probably sun and wind are the most likely. Tides, if you live near the ocean. Streams, if you live near rivers and streams, things of that nature. But yes, preferably you should have more than one source. And so far, our technology is getting enough better that most of these items, like solar panels and wind bills and stuff like that, can pay for themselves in less than 2 years now. A while ago, it was probably 4, 5, or 6 years.
Yes.
It's less than two and going down. I think we can do. They will pay for themselves in less than a year. Fairly soon.
The book is Energetics, Your New Energy. It's free, it's clean, it's everywhere by Jeremy Gorman, an Ohio-born chemist, retired research and development vice president of a New York Stock Exchange company. He knows what he's talking about. He's been passionate about this for a number of decades. You mentioned nuclear energy there. Time is going by quickly, but I do want to talk about that because some people will say, just turn to nuclear energy. That's the answer to everything. How practical is nuclear energy in resolving some of these issues?
I don't really object to nuclear energy. I think it's good. I think it's there. We should use it. But we have to be very careful because it does cause some very serious pollution. And I want to make sure that people who use nuclear energy are very careful about what they do with the waste products of the process. These radioactive materials have to be taken care of very carefully. And I'm not sure we have a national program to do that yet, but I want to develop one.
And that's included in a chapter in Energetics, Your New Energy. How about carbon pollution? I want to talk about that because that's something that's in the news, great debate, how damaging, how negative this whole thing is. How can we reverse this whole issue with carbon pollution?
Well, the primary thing is to stop burning carbon-based products. But what about the stuff that's already in the air? I'm not sure I have the answer, but I have an answer. If we go out we have seven major oceans in the world, and we go out into the middle of those and spray ammonia up into the atmosphere out there where there's nobody around, it will react with the carbon in the atmosphere and come down as ammonium carbonate and fall into the oceans, where it will also help neutralize the acidity we put in the oceans. So I think the idea of the ammonia project is very good. It needs some very careful study because I see a potential for having problems, but I think they're manageable and I think we can avoid them.
What can we do to stop global warming? There are those that say this all is just cyclical, it's not a big problem. For those who believe we really need to take action, what should we be doing?
Well, the most important thing is to get the carbon dioxide out of the air. We've increased the carbon dioxide content of our atmosphere 50% just in the past 100 years, and we've got to get it back down to where it was before because the Earth is massive, so it's slow to warm up. We've already warmed it up 2 degrees, with probably 4 to 8 more coming. So the answer is to get the carbon out of the atmosphere. Two things. Stop burning carbon things. There are other sources of energy. You got the sun, you got the wind, you got the tides, you got the streams. There are other sources of energy which are available and usable, and we know how to use them. The other thing is to get the carbon up, because it is the prime absorber of the solar energy, which is why the Earth has warmed up 2 degrees and is going to warm up another 4 if we don't stop what we're doing.
Well, let's talk about stopping it. As I say, there are those that say, no, this is cyclical, this is not a problem. What are the consequences of inaction?
Well, if we keep putting carbon, we will, first place, we'll warm the Earth too much, and we'll acidify the oceans. We've already acidified the oceans enough that some species have been wiped out. Not many. There are several thousand species in the ocean, and I think something like 100 or 120 of them have already been greatly diminished or destroyed, merely because we put too much carbon dioxide in the ocean. Now, carbon dioxide is water soluble, so if it's in the air, it'll go into the ocean.
A couple minutes left in the program. I mentioned in the beginning, new energy will even employ thousands locally. Talk about that, because this really sort of a win-win for everybody, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is a win-win for everybody. And I think probably one of the things that I tried to point out in my book was that thousands and thousands of very small clean energy devices is better than huge, massive ones. I see big windmills on top of the mountains. That's great. I love them. But thousands and thousands of small ones on the roof of every home would be much better. There's less loss. There's, you know, less disturbance. All of that would be an improvement. So I think we want to add to our windmills on the mountaintops by adding small windmills on every house.
That's you outline that in the book, and the book is designed basically for every person who lives on Earth. We all can do something. It's doable. Once again, we can do it together. And you point out how we can all be Energets, and all of a sudden we've got a neighborhood that could become self-sufficient.
Yeah, that's right. I want to see an energy independent neighborhoods around. And as a matter of fact, if you're going to form a group, that should be the goal. Make this neighborhood energy independent. And boy, that's good. And then everybody will know where they're going and what they're doing, and they'll add you'll get lots of new ideas from the people there. I think that's the way to go. So forming groups, energy groups, locally is great, because most of these things could and should be done locally instead of on a massive scale, like going up on the mountaintop and putting a big windmill up there.
Well, imagine nationally, if you've got even scattered neighborhoods around the country, all of a sudden they start getting media attention, and all of a sudden they start giving ideas to other neighborhoods all around the country, and suddenly we're making some progress in this battle against climate change. It's all in the book. It'll tell you, because you may think this is overwhelming. How do I get my neighbors involved? Jeremy will take you through that process. Energetics, your new energy, it's free. It's clean, it's everywhere, and I'll throw in, it's doable, as Jeremy talked about in the program. Energetics, if you go to Google it, is E-N-E-R-J-E-T-T-I-C-S. You can link onto our website to get more information. Of course, it's available at Amazon. Jeremy, it is always a pleasure to have you on the program. Great ideas. Once again, I keep coming back to, it's doable. It's not that complicated. You've laid it all out for us. Thank you for being back with us on the program.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I hope I get some information out to help people out. I would like to see every home be energy independent someday. That won't happen in my lifetime, but it's got to happen someday.
Well, it happens step by step. And step one is energetics, your new energy. It's free. It's clean. It's everywhere. Jeremy Gorman, our guest on the program. More information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.